Working our way through 1 Corinthians. Can you believe we're halfway through chapter 10? And we're going to continue on after our one-week break, as Carolyn was speaking last week about her ministry. We're going to be looking at this section in chapter 10, verses 14 through 22, where Paul is warning the church again. So let's take a look. Chapter 10, verse 14. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You bring us warning, that You bring us correction, that You show us in these words how to live our lives. Father, we ask that You would open our hearts and our minds to Your Holy Spirit, that You would make these words not just truth that we see and acknowledge, but Lord, truth that we live with every breath and every step. Father God, I pray this morning that as I come and preach, Your anointing would be upon me, that as I speak, Your people here might be encouraged and blessed, that everyone would somehow glean food, spiritual food, that they would make them stronger and bring them closer to You. Lord, we seek to follow You, to be Your servants, to be Your faithful stewards of the tasks and the job that You've given us of taking the gospel to the world. Lord, help us to do so by living the gospel, by knowing the gospel. We pray this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, 2 weeks ago, we were looking at the first 13 verses there, chapter 10, and Paul was bringing up Israel's trekking through the wilderness and how time and time again they grumbled, they complained, they tested God. How did they test God? They tested God in the way that we're not supposed to. Like an ill-mannered child saying, are you really going to, if I step over this line, are you really going to punish me? Are you really? And God said, yes, don't test me. And He did bring His punishment. He lost patience with them. And none of them who were unfaithful, only the few who went into the were allowed to go into the promised land. We had two that were allowed to go into the promised land who had come out of Israel or had come out of Egypt. The rest died in the wilderness because of their grumbling, because of their complaining, because they're not believing that God would do what He said He would do. They didn't believe Him. He said, I'm going to take you. I'm going to do this. They run into a problem. They say, oh, you just brought us here to die. This and that. So God brought His judgment. And they're warned. Don't do that. Now we have a discussion of eating, partaking in the feast of the Lord's table and the temple feasts that occurred, these sacrifices to demons in Corinth. Remember, Corinth had a lot of temples. It was a major, major city. And the temples were active and big. And they were instructed, you can't be both. You can't be a Christian following God and a pagan following demons at the same time. Paul's pointing to a Christian's identity with Christ. We participate with Him in the cup and the bread. That cup, His shed blood. That bread, His broken body. We eat of that. We partake of that. We are part of that. If we're part of that, we shouldn't ought to be going to the other side. Now, Carolyn last week told the story of one of the people that have come to know Christ that works with Kama Services there in Laos. This man whose parents had died, and he went and he served a week in the temple because it was what was expected of him. And she was asking for prayer for him, saying, This is a bad thing. This is what exactly the type of thing this passage is dealing with. See, he's attempting to honor his parents, but he's twisted the command and is practicing idolatry, saying, you know, I really don't believe this, but I'm going to do it to honor my parents. And Paul's saying here, don't do it. You can't do both. Now, I used to be involved in a motorcycle ministry. I've talked about it from time to time to one percenters. That is gangs. People who engaged quite often in illegal behavior. Certainly, drugs and alcohol and promiscuity was the norm and expected. Now, when I ministered to them, yes, I wore leathers. Yes, I had long hair. Yes, I had an earring. Yes, I have a tattoo. But I didn't enter into the drugs and the alcohol. I didn't enter into the promiscuity. I didn't enter into that part which was sin in order to minister to them. I went to where they were, and I tried to be all things, all people, as we saw earlier in 1 Corinthians. But what I didn't do was partake in the worship of demons. Well, I would never participate in the worship of demons. Oh, really? Or bow down before the TV for the football game? Or, you know, money has become all that's important? Or something other than God that has taken that primacy in your life? That's what Paul's talking about. The people there in Corinth, they had to take a stand. They had to say, you know, I know demons are under the authority of God, and a demon is nothing to God. And I'm a Christian. So the demon cannot have control of me. But they get confused and they think that that means that somehow the demon can't touch them. That somehow or other they can just waltz in and participate in the festivals and the feasts. Why? Well, you know, these are pretty nice meals. They got a free meal going down there down at the temple today. And if you go down there, you can have free food, a little recreational sex, and you know, it's just the way, it's just this society, it's just this. And Paul's saying, no, that's not what Scripture tells us we're supposed to do. That's what was going on then. You know what? That's pretty much the same thing that's happening today. We think that we can just go and, you know, I'm at church on Sunday, and I'm at Bible study on Wednesday, and I'm reading my Scripture by doing my own daily devotions. But, you know, my friends invited me out, and we decided that we were going to go out and have a good time. Now, it's okay to go out and have a good time. What's not okay is to lay sacrifices on the altar of demons. Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? What could that possibly be? Sexual promiscuity? Allowing anything else other than yourself to be in control? You know, drunkenness? Gluttony, you know, hey, I've had that issue. Belly up to the buffet. Sure, that's not anywhere near as bad as it. Yeah, one sin's just as bad as another. Don't be trying to give me a pass on that. We need to say, what is it you want us to do, Lord? Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. That's what Paul started off with here. He wants us to flee from idolatry. We're not supposed to cozy up to it or see how close to it we can get. But we're supposed to get as far away from it as we possibly can. The single exception to this would be if God calls us to go and minister to them. And then we go minister to them. Hello, full armor of God, going according to His will, His leading, in His time. You go in, you get out. It's the nature of a battle. Full prayer cover, that whole thing. I speak to sensible people. I titled today's message, Sensible Shoes. You're going, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Well, we're told that we're supposed to flee from idolatry. Are we wearing sensible shoes for fleeing from idolatry? If we start participating in sin, what we're doing is we're wrapping chains around our feet. Not very sensible for running. Maybe we have... If I told you you were going to go and you were going to run the 100-yard dash in the Olympics, how many of you would put on, you ladies, hopefully none of the men, but how many of you would put on a set of spiked high heels? Now, they actually have races where women run in high heels. Personally, I think that's crazy, but people do all sorts of insane things. And that's fun. I'm not, you know, that's not bad. But if you really wanted to run as fast as you could, are you going to put on stilettos? No! You're probably going to go with something that looks more like a running shoe. You know, much better to run in a running shoe than stilettos, or how about flip-flops? How about clogs? You ever try to run in those? Not very good. What's the sensible shoe for our feet? Well, Ephesians chapter 6 is the passage about the armor of God. The armor of God. And it does speak of a pair of shoes here. It tells us, verse 14, it says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place." And then verse 15, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." What are we supposed to be standing on? Faith in Christ. What are we supposed to be shodding our feet with? The gospel of peace. The gospel, the good news. This is what we're supposed to be putting ourselves. Not sin. Not cozying up to idolatry of various sorts. Our instruction from God through Paul is to flee from idolatry. He's saying, "I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say." Be sensible. If we're to flee from idolatry, don't put on things that are going to trip us up, that are going to fall off our feet, that are going to cause us to break an ankle. So don't, plan for success, not for failure. It says, "You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons." Are we trying to allow the Lord, are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Anybody, what possible commandment could Paul be referring to there? What? First one? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, so all your mind. Have no other gods before me. That is next. That's love God. Worship only Him. He says, "I am a for why? Because He's a jealous God." Hello. God has told us He is a jealous God. He doesn't want us flirting with demons. He certainly doesn't want us to be involved with them. That will rouse His jealousy. Now, what has He said He will do? He's given us a whole list of things that He's going to, that are judgment for those who go into idolatry. And He brought it against Israel. And He showed us. But we're like that disobedient younger child who we saw our older brother grow up and we saw, he went and did that. And you know what? Dad, oh boy, did he whoop him. He got a spanking, like he got disciplined. But you know what? I'm the youngest. I'm the baby. I bet I could get away with it. That's what we're like. We're like saying, even though we saw the example that God is going to bring discipline, He loves me more. He won't do that to me. Wrong. This is what Paul's trying to say. People, don't bet on that. Don't test God in this manner. You're going to lose. Are we stronger than He? And we all say, well, no, of course not. Well, then why do we keep trying to play submission games with them? With my kids, when they were little, they wanted to play. Blood and knuckles. Well, we played that too, but we also played one where grab our interlock fingers and just crank them up and see who would give in first. What? Mercy. That was the one. And now when they were young, why would they want to play with me? They knew I was going to win. But they'd do it anyways. And I'd beat them every time. I still beat them. So I won't give in. But between them and me, there's a whole, not anywhere near the difference, even when they were little, as between us and God. But yet we keep wanting to play these stupid, you know, submission games with God. I bet I can take it. I bet you can't. We can't. Are we stronger than God? The answer is flat out no. So why are we testing Him in this? We're going to lose. Paul's saying, don't do it. Don't go there. Be sensible. Make sure you got on the right shoes. Make sure you're standing on the right thing. You're standing on Christ. Your feet are shod with the gospel of peace. You're not getting all tangled up in idolatry. Now remember, idolatry is anything which we put before God. We can make anything our idol. We can make being church people idolatry, as far as that goes. So are we listening to God? Are we following God? Are we doing what it is He's directing us to do, instead of doing our thing? And Paul is telling us here, we participate with Christ in the cup and in the bread. In His death on the cross, we're part of that. The Lord's table. We're one with Him. And when we go do this other stuff, it's bad. I know that doesn't sound real deep theologically. It's bad. But it's as basic and it's as true as you're going to get. If God's Word says don't do it, don't say, well, you know what? I think I can get away with it for a little while. Why? Why are you flirting with disaster? Be sensible. Look what God did to the Israelites in the wilderness. What makes you think that you can call yourself a Christian and then delve into idolatry and not have to pay a consequence? And that consequence is one which is not one you want to pay or maybe even can pay. I don't know. We don't want to go there. That's the point. Run away. Flee. Because we're not stronger than He is. So we need to put on our sensible shoes. That is the gospel of peace. And flee from those things in our life which are idolatry. Flee from those things where people try to pull us in to idolatry. Anybody have any friends that do that? Sometimes we don't even need friends. TV will do that, or print media, or computer screen, or whatever. We got all sorts of things out there trying to trip us up. Flee from it. If it's a problem that pulls you into sin, run away from it. Don't try to be stronger than it. Don't try to get over it. Run away. Basic martial arts skill. Run away. Because that's what we're supposed to do to idolatry. So run away from it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for these cautionary tales where you've shown us time and again that when you say something, you mean it. And Lord, you mean it, that you are a jealous God. You do not want us to be involved with idolatry in any way. To not participate in it. Lord, help us. Help us to have eyes which see and recognize those things which are idolatry that are in our lives, that we may flee from them. Lord, give us wisdom to see, hear, and discern those calls, those invitations that we receive that would pull us into idolatry, that we might run away from them. Heavenly Father, put the gospel of peace on our feet that we might run away from sin and run to you. And there be strong. And there be safe. Lord, might we not test you as a disobedient and ill-mannered child. But might we test you as one who trusts what you say. When you say, I love you and I will care for you, might we believe you. Might we stand firmly upon you. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand as we close. We will sing together.